What's up, y'all? It's your favorite funny girl and common sense specialist, Amanda Seals, and I'm back at SiriusXM with Smart Funny and Black Radio, and this time I'm bringing some friends. Hey, friends! That's right. We're hitting the airwaves every Monday on Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio with your weekly dose of black culture, black games, and a whole lot of black commentary. And you never know who's going to stop by. Catch new episodes of Smart Funny and Black Radio every Monday morning on SiriusXM Channel 96. Smart Funny and Black by any joke necessary.
Hey, it's me, Dave. Real quick, a programming note before we get started. Kyle and I are both traveling this week separately, and often when we travel, we do not bring our mic stands because those things are a pain in the ass to lug through airports. Therefore, we are holding the mics in our hands this week, and sometimes when we do that, we manipulate the microphone, we shift around, and it causes some rumbling and some noise, like you're getting now. And we're dumb, and we forget that we're doing that, and it's distracting. So please forgive our annoyance and distractions this week with the mic sounds. We'll make a note of it and try not to do that again in the future. We've only been doing this for 6 years, so you got to cut us some slack. So our apologies for any annoying microphone sounds that you might hear throughout this episode. So no way to get rid of those. We're sorry. We're dumb. We'll do better. Thanks for listening.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Double remote live, baby.
What's going on, Big Gov?
We're both just out in the world.
Hell yeah, man. Wandering the streets.
Boogie Monster from an undisclosed location. I'll disclose mine in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
People have been loving the attempts at pronunciation, Dave.
I think I figured it out. It's Cuyahoga. I'm pretty confident
you're right.
Now. Yeah, I was trying too hard on that Cuya, the C-U-Y-A. I don't know what I was trying to do.
Well,
with that,
you see, possibly indigenous word or something. You want to do right by it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm trying. But yeah, I'm in Ohio, where it's, we are about a week away from May, and it's 34 degrees with about 4 inches of snow on the ground in almost May.
Yeah, Midwest is going to be bonkers on you, buddy.
This is blowing my mind.
That was the biggest kick in the ass as a kid, where you're like, hell yeah, finally. Springtime and then summer, and then bullshit like that would happen.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, this is nuts,
I
man.
Have a new BMX bike I am trying to ride. I would just skateboard in the slush.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too fun.
No, you see people's skateboards that would look like a coffee table you left outside, too, all just swollen with water.
All warped.
Yeah, yeah. Man, so how's the tour going?
It's good, man. It's real good. People coming out, having some fun shows, meeting a ton of nice folks, people bringing me gifts, too many to even shout out.
Pat and Deb Kinane made an appearance at the Chicago
Pat
show.
Pat and Deb surprised the hell out of me. The in Chicago, real fun show, good turnout, and I couldn't help but notice while I was on stage, and, you know, sometimes this happens, I don't necessarily attract an older demographic. Well, I mean, I'm getting up there myself, but in terms of the senior citizens, and I don't know if you do this, but, like, you know, whenever I see an older person at my show, I'm always like, oh, wonder what brought them out. Wonder how they know about me. And then sometimes
who did they think they were seeing tonight?
Exactly.
Was there a doo-wop singer named Dave Stone that they had been misinformed?
And then, not that my act is, you know, incredibly vulgar, but then I get in my head about, like, all right, let me see if I can edit on the fly any gratuitous stuff. You know, I don't want to be up there talking about anything too extreme when there's seniors in the audience.
I mean, Dave, I'd like to know what you consider gratuitous, because I would say your act is not...
Yeah, that's true. I don't have an
ass-eating
chunk.
That 20 minutes on prolapsed assholes.
But still, you know, I do sometimes
anal blossoming.
I probably I probably edit out a few F-bombs, you know, on the fly when I seen some older folks in the crowd. But yeah, just noticed in the very back, I was like, huh, there's a couple of nice older folks back there. Okay, didn't think too much of it. And then after the show, get a big old bear hug from this lady walks up from behind me, gives me a big old hug. I turn around, it's Mrs. Kinane. I was like, holy shit, Pat and Deb.
She probably dropped more F-bombs just on the way to the show than you did in your entire hour, so I wouldn't worry about it.
But yeah, quite a surprise, quite a treat to see the parents, Kinane.
And she didn't know my cousin was going either. My cousin was there, and there was family came out. Nice.
I knew he was coming. He had reached out, and I hooked him up with a spot on the guest list. And had I known that they were coming, I would have hooked them up as well. But
well, they didn't even tell me. She's like, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to tell Dave because I didn't want him to get nervous about anything or think differently if we were going to be there, and I didn't want tickets. So, all right. So they didn't tell me. I found out after the fact, too.
But yeah, they were good spirits, man. They seemed to have a good time, and it was like old home week.
It was good times. They're raving reviews. They loved it.
Oh well, good man, good.
Absolutely loved it. If it's good enough for Pat and Deb Kinane, it's good enough for you people out there.
Yeah,
go catch Dave on his tour.
Thank you. Yeah, it's got the seal of approval from them. Feeling good about it. But yeah, it was great seeing them, man. It was always nice to see Pat and Deb and. Pat, he was in good spirits. You know, the first time I met him, he was, I guess he's a pretty low-key, mild-mannered fella anyway. But
very mellow.
But, yeah, I got a few good chuckles and comments out of him. So, yeah, man, it's a good time. Yeah,
they took the train down to the city, so maybe they got to have a few pops, you know.
Yeah, she told me that
cocktails, they... enjoy the night.
Told me that they took the train, so, it seemed like they were having a fun night out.
Yeah, good for them.
But yeah, it's been going real well.
Glad they made it out. They don't normally do adventurous stuff like that that I'm aware of. So
I appreciate that, man. Because I doubt when I'm their age, I'm going to be going out on a Saturday night. I'm not going to be taking public transportation to see my son's dickhead buddies act. So
that's how Batman's parents died. You want to risk it?
Oh, man. But, yeah, it was quite a pleasure seeing them. And fun times in Chicago, man. Spent a couple nights in Chicago. Had the day off the next day and just farted around the town. And, man, I love Chicago. And I love Milwaukee. Both those towns. I could totally live in either one of those towns if it weren't so damn cold.
Yep. It weeds out the fair weather ones.
Mm-hmm.
Winter comes through and really tests how much you love it.
Yeah, I would imagine. What you been
up to?
But
there's that pleasure. There was that pleasure of, like, if you did go to a bar on the shittiest, coldest night, and you walked into a bar, everybody in that bar is going to be your friend because they all decided to go out on the shittiest, coldest night.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we all decided that in spite of how back-breakingly cold it is outside, we still want to go have a drink and have a good time and enjoy the companionship of other people. So we're going to have a good time tonight.
Yeah.
And I do like that.
Yeah, there does seem to be that kind of unspoken camaraderie in Chicago of like, well, we're all here. Let's have some fun.
Well, in certain parts of the city.
Yeah.
There's other parts of the city that have zero camaraderie. you will have camaraderie with someone's bullets is the camaraderie with that. So that's other parts of the city.
Yeah, that's what I hear. But
some gnarly stuff going on.
I stayed in Old Town. And that was a lot of fun.
It was Old Town Ale House. You got the Zanies downtown, classic comedy club. I'm glad it went well, man. I'm glad the tour's going good for you.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Well, thank you, buddy.
Congrats, buddy.
Which, you're in L.A.?
I am in Los Angeles, baby.
There you go. You having
it
fun?
It's beautiful here. Like, clearly, I don't have to tell you, but I guess it rained, so everything's green for about the next 10 or 15 minutes. It's actually green. It looks like it's not ready to burn down just because somebody thought about dropping a cigarette out of their car window.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Since last week, what did I do? I was talking about how good the Pup concert was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and saw a band called Chicks Dig It, one of my favorites from back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Canadian fellas.
Okay.
I don't think they ever... they had a hard time doing legitimate shows in the States.
Oh, yeah?
Getting the paperwork together and such.
Oh, yeah.
So It was a fun show.
Where'd you see them at?
Dante's in Portland. That was at Dante's in Portland on Friday night. I just had a good old time. I mean, Rachel's been gone the whole week. She's been down here in L.A., so it just been me and Lil D kicking it, and then I made it out, you know, to the concerts.
Well, I had fun doing
that. Got a little banged up, you know, had some soda pops, had a long drive the next day. not nice to have to do half of a 15-hour drive.
Oof.
On a hangover and no sleep.
How far did you make it till you pulled over?
I made it past Reading. I made it a little over halfway.
Okay.
So I did all right, and then pulled over, slept, got here Sunday afternoon. And, man, I don't know if it's suburban living or what. Like, we're walking, you know, we're in the Los Feliz, and we're going to go, let's walk to Rustic. And there's one guy standing out in front of House of Pies with his skateboard. Like, clearly, they had just kicked him out. The whole staff in there is, like, all looking at him. People eating there looking at him. He's like, you're cowards. You're all fucking cowards. I'm like, all right, well, I don't know what this stemmed from. But, you got homeless people, mental illness, like that kind of stuff going on.
Mm.
But Rachel's like, all right, let's kind of scoot away from this guy. I'm like, remember that wouldn't bother us as much because we lived here, and now we're just suburbanites. Like, oh. And I'm like, don't worry. We'll leave him in a block and a half. We'll see another guy. Sure enough, we get to the Rustic. There's a guy yelling over the little patio wall, like, and you're fucking cowards. I'm like, that guy wasn't that good of a skateboarder. He couldn't have gotten here already. A different guy, same rhetoric.
Also with the cowards, huh?
Same with the cowards again.
Must be something in the air.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I don't know what message got flooded through the homeless camps, or if somebody was like, "Coward's a strong word."
Yeah,
I'm going to use that one.
Coward. But
so I was like, "That's a little odd that we're both going with that language." It was like that video of Fox News when they're all kind of using the same language.
Yeah,
and they show that. I'm like, "Oh, what message got out that we're going with cowards for everything?" But so. Yeah, I went over to the old Rusty. Was there Sunday night. Was also there yesterday. Sorry for the delay, everybody. Blame me. This one was my fault. I was having a Monday afternoon out about the town.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, we did the Rustic, sat outside. We went over to Hot Tub. Saw the Hot Tub show.
That's always a fun show.
That was fun. The bar half isn't open anymore.
Oh, really?
Right now. Yeah, I think they're kind of coming back. Mm. You know, they're not all the way back yet. And then we went over to 4100.
Oh, yeah.
So all kinds of kids were out. It was fun. So James Adomian was out. Matt Kirshen was out. Saw Simon Gibson. Saw Shane Brendan from Portland's down here. It was just like we had a gaggle. We had a crew out. It was fun. Derek Brown was out. It was just a fun, good old. We're all having drinks and yelling in each other's faces and having a bunch of laughs.
That's a good crew. Love Adobe.
Yeah, Shane Torres. That's why I'm here.
Uh huh.
Shane and I are recording our show over at the All Things Comedy Studio. No offense, Starburns. They're not listening.
Nah, they don't care. Well, that's cool, buddy.
One guy's getting weird looks having the van parked in the nice part of Los Feliz because people got a lot of NIMBYs in this area.
I would have suggested you park in my old spot, but now it's not so cool because there's condos right there. I used to park right there at Clayton and Hillhurst. Perfect spot. Perfect.
Yeah, there's an empty Ford dealership.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a bunch of big ass condos over there.
Luxury condos. Apparently we need luxury condos.
Mm-hmm.
Homeless people don't need houses, but we definitely need luxury condos. We should definitely tear down the stuff that made the neighborhood attractive in the first place and then put luxury condos in.
Yeah, $5,000 a month for rent, that's reasonable. Sure, put those up.
Fuck, man. Yeah, it's wild, man. It's been 2 years since I've been gone and kind of looking around going, okay, well, pandemic and then just gentrification, which we've all helped along in our own right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. How was Rustic? I haven't been there in years.
Rustic has not changed. And it was funny. We went there Sunday night, and I was like, first off, I felt old as shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Because I'm 45, and I, you know, drinking at, 11 o'clock at night in a bar, That's not what people our age do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially on a Sunday night, people got work. It was also Easter Sunday. I forget that it was Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
But there was like all these like kids were like 23 or whatever, and they all look like, I'm like, oh, they're all hungover from Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them. Everybody's quiet. And then I realized, no, it's trivia night. They're all playing trivia. They're thinking.
Okay.
But I'm like, good. But I was a little heartbroken because one of the questions, like, what's Mr. Like from The Simpsons, what's Mr. Burns's first name? I'm like, well, that's easy. And the kids were struggling over it.
I don't know that one.
You know Mr. Burns' first name?
I can't remember what his first name was.
Well, I got it wrong, too, because I'm like, it's Montgomery.
Montgomery, that's right.
Monty Burns, except it's not. His name is C. Montgomery Burns. So his name's actually Charles Montgomery Burns.
Gotcha.
But these kids had no idea. And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, that show's from, I mean, how long has it been on?
I mean, it came out. It started in 89, so 33 years.
Yeah, so.
It came out when we were in seventh grade.
I remember that. I remember, like, because it was part of Tracy Ullman's show. But I realized, like, that's like somebody being mad that we don't know facts about I Love Lucy.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man.
But I can just pull the old man card. How dare you not understand? Like, because they don't need to know it.
Yeah.
You know what they did know? Everybody got the question right. It was like, what element do some plants absorb from the air and then when the plant dies, release into the soil through their roots? It was nitrogen. I didn't know that. Everybody got that question right. I'm like, well, that's good. You got the science question right, but didn't get the bullshit 30-year-old cartoon question right.
Where are these kids' priorities?
Good. But good for you. Okay, maybe we're in some safe hands. Maybe the future has kids that are ready to learn things and not. I'm like, oh, nobody's fucked up in here. Maybe that's good. I'm like, oh man, this is a cocaine fall down bar.
Mm-hmm. Rustic will always have a special place in my heart. That's where Katie and I had our first date at the U Rustic Inn. Yeah, now look at us. Now look what that led to. We're married. Did I ever tell you that? She put the moves on me at the Rustic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We worked together at that god-awful restaurant down the street called Spitz. Don't get me started on that place. But overpriced.
It's called
yuppie
Spitz.
Food. Yeah, it's called
which
Spitz.
Which I know it's about like a spit that meat's cooked on, but we didn't think twice about calling a restaurant Spitz.
Yeah. And she used to invite me. A lot of the crew over there would go to Rustic after their shifts. And she had invited me a few times, and I declined just because at the time I was living in a van and I was not, I kind of willfully took myself off the market. I wasn't trying to date while I was in the van. So yeah. I blew her off a couple times. Then eventually I gave in, and a few of us went over there. And there was about four or five of us. And then at one point we just found ourselves alone. The other folks had left or gone up to the bar or something. And she's like, hey, you ever make out at a bar? And I go, I was like, it's been a while. And she goes, you wanna? And she just laid one on me. And I'm like, all right, I guess we're doing this.
That's a hell of a line.
Yeah, you ever make out at a bar? You wanna? And then just laid it down on me. And I'm like, all right, I like this chick style.
In my head, it said with the same in the same context, like, you guys want to see a dead body?
Yeah, about to suck your face, dude. Yeah, I remember, too, when she invited me over that time, I was like, yeah, let me run home first and change. And home was just two blocks over to the van. And, kept that secret.
Did she know you were in a van?
No, not at the time. No.
Oh.
But a few weeks later, I dropped that nugget of reality on her. I was like, hey, before this thing goes any further, I think I got to be honest with you and let you know my situation. Didn't bat an eye. Didn't give a shit. I was like, all right, I like this girl's style.
Well, of all the things you could say, like, you should know, I have a girlfriend, or I have a kid, or I have a wife somewhere. Like, I just live in a van. Like, okay, we're not cheating on anybody. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I just got to run home, get myself a 5 baby wipe rub down. Let's hit the mean streets, babe.
Hell yeah, man. Good times. Yeah, I always love you, Rustic. Had a good lunch special over there, too. I think they used to do daily specials where you could get like a whole meal for like $6 or $7
one day. Shit, that's long gone, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But yeah, I used to eat over there all the time for like $6 for lunch. Get you a grilled cheese and a tomato soup. That was a special they used to run. Not every day you can get grilled cheese and tomato soup at a bar.
They weren't even open until 4 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, really?
So I don't even know if they're doing lunch anymore. But I got the cauliflower buffalo wings. I just want the buffalo sauce, you know?
I got the cauliflower ones.
$14, dude.
Jeez.
Yeah, $14 for a pile of cauliflower.
That's L.A. for you.
Yeah. Nothing's you'll pay more. I was talking to Shane about it. You'll pay more in rent in New York. Mm-hmm. But you could still get, like, I feel like a cheap slice of pizza or something.
Yeah.
Whereas here, man, like now I'm noticing it's
no cheap eats.
No cheap nothing.
Mm-mm. No.
Six and change for a gallon of gas. Bad time to be driving a van around.
Yeah, that's true. Very bad time. Speaking of food, dude, I've been eating like a king on this run. Been really. I'm off the booze, and I've been really trying to work out every day so I can justify some of my lunch habits on this run. But man, been crushing it. I'll give you a quick rundown. Started out.
Let's hear.
Flew into Nashville just because we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think how crazy airfares have gone through the roof with all the gas situation, dude. Yep. Typically, L.A. to Nashville round trip, you could get that ticket for $250, you know, 6 months ago, $650, and that was the cheapest in the whole area. Like, it didn't really make a lot of sense for me to fly into Nashville just because I'm not, you know, performing in Nashville, but it was so much cheaper than even Indianapolis or Chicago or Cincinnati. So flew into Nashville that first morning, big bed breakfast. Oh, boy.
Sure.
Got the cat head biscuit breakfast sandwich. Which is always, that's an old Southern thing. Biscuits as big as cat heads, and I don't know why they chose that unit of measurement.
I understand it more than somebody saying a football field.
Well, I guess so, yeah. But yeah, got the big old chicken cat head biscuit. That was fantastic. Then in Milwaukee, got some good German food at Mader's. I think it's called Mader's, M-A-D-E-R, apostrophe S, Mader's. Yeah, had the Bavarian sausage platter, had like four different types of sausage. Mm. Oh boy, real good. And then some sort of, I think I had some schnitzel and a little gravy on that schnitzel. Oh, German food, so underrated. I mean, we've talked a lot about our shared love of the Red Lion there in Los Angeles, but
it's clearly made to keep you warm.
Yeah. So had that. Then in Chicago, to make you proud, I stopped by and had my first ever Portillo's. And it was first ever. I'd never had Portillo's.
What's the review on it?
Loved
it. Be honest with me. You're not going to break my heart. I don't have stock in the place.
Thought it was great. I don't know what else you could want. I mean,
send me a picture. What'd you got? You got a beef sandwich?
Got the Italian beef with the light gravy, and then also got me just a regular old Chicago dog. And boy, both of those
light
just,
gravy, huh? All right.
Yeah. Well, I did. I got light gravy, and then I got a little cup on the side. What for dipping? Didn't want to go too crazy because sometimes, you know, I've had the French dip or the Italian beef at other places where you get a little too wet and you got to start eating it with a damn knife and fork. It's so soggy.
Yeah, they hold it under like a kid the mom doesn't want.
My only note with the Italian beef, and I'm sure people have thought about this, but as someone, I'm a novice to the Italian beef. I've had it a few times, but you know, in the South, I don't think there was anywhere you could get an Italian beef sandwich. But I thought it was delicious. I really enjoyed it, but I think it could have benefited from a little cheese. Throw a little provolone or something on there.
You
that would have been nice. So I wonder
it's to be customized.
Yeah,
yeah, you but get peppers.
I got the sweet peppers.
Sweet peppers. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can ask for cheese on it.
Yeah, I saw that they had the cheese sauce, but I didn't see an option for like a slice of provolone or Swiss or something. But
it would be provolone. You just ask for it. Yeah, you can ask. They put it on a meatball sub for you.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. Maybe I'll do that next time. And then, like I said, I stayed two nights in Chicago. The next night, I was having a hankering for some Polish food. and I found a place. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Podhalenka. Podhalenka, Podhalanka, little bitty hole in the wall place. No, not even, they didn't even have windows. It's like a little bitty spot. Like if you, if you weren't really paying attention, you'd walk right past it. Kind of no signage, no windows. Walk in, sit down, a real bare bones kind of place. A few little tables, and then they had a counter. And this older dude, probably about 60, comes up and doesn't even give me a menu. He's just like, your first time? I can't do a Polish accent. I go, yeah, first time. And he goes, all right, here's what I do for you. I make you pierogies, I make you sausage, I make you cabbage soup. And I'm like, well, all right, I guess I'm having that. Like,
yes,
just
you will,
like,
sir.
This is, yeah, like, he didn't ask, he was telling. Pierogies, sausage, cabbage soup. And also juice on me, free juice on the house. Some weird, I don't know what was in this juice.
Cloud collage.
Yeah. like cold borscht or something. But, dude, these pierogies were insane. Great pierogies. Cabbage soup was insane, too.
You look like a guy that was walking into a place, and like, and this is not a fat joke, even though it sounds like a fat joke. You don't look like a picky eater, Dave.
No, not at
you
all.
You look like you're a guy that enjoys well-done food, and that guy was probably like, I'm going to give him what we got that he's going to like.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make this guy's day.
Mm-hmm. And he did. Man, I just sat there, ate like a king for like $15. He brought the bill. I mean, I just ate till I couldn't eat anymore. It was like $14.95. Like, all right, this is a hell of a deal. But yeah, it gave me a whole like 9 pierogies, like a huge sausage link, and just a giant bowl. He called it cabbage soup, but it was really more like chicken soup with cabbage, and it was some of the best soup I'd ever had. A lot of chicken, really? A lot of cabbage, a lot of fresh herbs. I mean, just absolutely incredible. And just completely bare bones. I love those kind of places. Just bare bones. You know, they don't, you know, we're not here for the ambiance or the decor. I'm just here to make you some killer homemade food. And just incredible. So,
sorry, we didn't have time to paint a mural. We were busy making food for you.
But yeah, absolutely delicious, man. So yeah. Milwaukee and Chicago, just, oh, man. I wonder what the life expectancy in both those towns is. It's got to be less than the average.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about life expectancy, but I'm sure average waist size.
Yeah.
It's a little higher in those areas.
Hey, it's me, Dave. Let's talk about cryptocurrency, that is. Do you identify as crypto curious? I do. Curious in that I don't know what the hell's going on. Everybody's talking about crypto. A lot of my buddies are into it. Some folks I know are making money at it. I still, quite frankly, don't know what the hell it is. That's where Coinbase comes in to help. Coinbase, they're here for you. All right, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell crypto absolutely simple. Cryptocurrency might feel like a secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, everywhere should be able to get their foot in the crypto door. Whether you've been trading for years or you're just getting started, Coinbase can help. If you've been following the crypto craze, now is the time to get involved. Coinbase makes it quick and easy to start your own portfolio and learn to trade like a pro. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market. They make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, you're just getting started, or you're searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/boogie. That's Coinbase, coinbase.com/boogie. Sign up at coinbase.com/boogie. $10 in free Bitcoin. Pretty good deal. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/boogie. But yeah, just had a blast, man. So, been eating good. Haven't had any great food yet here in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, so I don't know where those hot spots are, but I'm staying across the street from the TGI Fridays, so I have had some nice wings over there.
Manage expectations accordingly, Dave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you ever, reminds me of that old Henry Phillips tweeted one time, if you're ever in Madison, Wisconsin, you absolutely must try Arby's roast beef sandwiches, a hidden gem.
Brendan Walsh used to do this character, like, I'm from New York. I love the best New York pizza, like Sparrow's. That's authentic New York style. Irony being, I don't mind a Sparrow's.
I don't mind it either. I think it's solid. I'll have that over the big national chains.
Rachel ordered some, because obviously, like late night food. Like she got some pizza the night before I got here. She's like, this is the most amount of bad food I've ever seen in my life. Some place called Prince Street Pizza. She's like, I had one piece. It's all I could do. The box was just like a greasy box. Like they put the pizza on the outside of the box before they put it inside the box.
I sat it on top.
It was of an exercisable weight.
Wow.
Like, if you want to do some jazzercise curls with this box, you can do it.
And this was in L.A. she had this?
Yeah, we're still eating off of it.
Huh.
Like a buffalo corpse. Just pick it off of it as necessary.
Oh, my God.
Like, we're putting the crust to the side in case we got to make a structure for winter.
Save the crust for kindling and firewood.
Yes, yeah. Could use that to make a lean-to. Yeah, it's horrible. But we're eating.
Oh, man. What else did I do in Chicago? Oh, this is, you'll appreciate this, staying in a pretty nice little hotel. By the way, before we get into that, I got to rant real quick. I'm always a sucker for these Priceline Express deals. Where they pick
the bite in the ass, though.
Yeah, they pick the hotel for you, and I was like, 4-star hotel in Chicago for $89. Sign me up. And it was a nice hotel. I stayed at the Ambassador Hotel, and it was very nice. $58 a night for valet parking.
That's how they get you.
You expect that at a 4 or 5-star hotel. I get that. But I've paid 40. I've paid 45. I don't think I've ever paid more than 50. $58 a night, valet parking. Also, big sign, we're not responsible for theft or blah, blah, blah. $58 a night, y'all can't hire a fucking security guard to just sit out there and babysit the cars?
Every parking garage has that sign up, but parking in Chicago is a full-fledged racket.
I mean, that was
the
insane.
Question I could never figure out is, okay, there's parking meters.
Mm-hmm.
But the meter maids are a private company. Mm-hmm. They're not the police.
Yeah.
Well, so a private company is enforcing this public. I was confused. I guess as I'm talking about now, I guess, yeah, you can have private security for a public area.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, well, wait, so you're, this isn't even we're paying a private company
mm-hmm.
to enforce this public thing. Like it's Chicago. Shit's fucked over there. Like a lot of cities, but it's just, I mean, it's shootings every day.
Yeah.
You know, it was real wild when they were just doing the full, like, gang raids on stores.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're just going to have 30 people rush an Apple store and just steal everything.
Dude, that's been going down in West Hollywood in Beverly Hills. I don't know, you probably haven't heard the news all the way up there, but it's been an epidemic in the last couple months of a lot of jewelry stores being robbed. Not only stores, but, like, these criminal gangs or whoever's behind it, they will scout out and find like the owners and the brokers and whatnot and follow these people home. There's been a lot of home invasions, home robberies as well.
Oh, I did see something like, yeah, targeting
mm-hmm.
the ultra wealthy.
But yeah, if you want to charge me $58 fucking dollars a night and then you're like, yeah, we're not responsible if it gets broken into, then what the fuck am I paying for?
They have to put that though.
Hire a fucking security guard.
That's like a liability thing. That has nothing to do. The overpriced shit, yeah, they're going to milk you.
And here's the other thing, too. these fucking toll roads in the Midwest. Leaving Chicago.
Buddy, welcome. Welcome to Illinois.
What the fuck?
As soon as you cross into Illinois, welcome to Illinois. Give us
$7. My God. Well, it's not even that. It's the proximity. When you're leaving Chicago, going south to like Indiana, mm-hmm. I think as soon as you get into Indiana, there's a toll in literally, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It has to be a mile or two. And then there's another one. And it's like, hey, asshole, just charge me double at that one. Don't make me stop again.
Nah, because there's an exit. There's an on-ramp after that last one, so we got to get them, too.
Jeez. And at least give me a snack, mini Three Musketeers. You know, hey, thanks for driving in New Jersey. Here's your jar of pickles. Like, give me something for that fucking money.
Kiss me while you're bending me over.
Good God.
That's the biggest kick in the ass is you drive all the way from California.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to Illinois, and it's like, hey, give us $5. Okay, wait, now give us $6. Now give us $3. And the idea being that, but look at all this construction we're doing. I remember it was the middle of a weekday. Orange cones are up. I didn't see a single construction worker anywhere doing shit. I think they put a bunch of orange up to be like, yeah, but we're fixing the roads just so you don't get as pissed that you just are exploited. The tolls went up initially to pay for the highways they were building.
Uh-huh.
But then they realized, wait a minute, people have to pay us. Why would we stop?
Mm-hmm.
Why would we put an end to a revenue stream?
Yeah.
You know, even though that's what we said we'd do. Yeah, it's the fix is in over in good old Illinois, buddy.
And I hate, I was on the Indiana Turnpike and then the Ohio Turnpike. I hate turnpikes because it's like, oh, you could stop at these bullshit generic travel plazas. What do you want? What do you want, a Burger King and a pretzel? These are your only fucking options. Like, part of what I enjoy about traveling is, like, you know, I love the states that have the exit signs that tell you which restaurants are at this exit, but not on the fucking turnpike. Just, oh, every 47 miles, there's one shitty travel plaza with two little bullshit options. Like, what a boring commute.
You know what nobody likes? Subway. Here's another one.
Yeah. Give me some good Subway or Burger King options. But anyway, at my hotel, when I was checking out, guess who I saw checking in? None other than Mr. Henry Rollins.
So, okay.
First time spotting Henry Rollins in public.
What was he doing in town?
He was performing, actually. I looked it up after the fact, and he was doing his god-awful spoken word tour.
He was out there chit-chatting?
Yeah, he was checking in. He had some crew with him and everything. But and I was like, oh, I wonder if, you know. I forgot that he's essentially, I guess, retired from music, and now he just does that spoken word, which I saw about 20 years ago. In my previous life, my girlfriend was a huge Rollins fan. So on Valentine's Day in like 2001, we went and saw Henry Rollins' spoken word at the Variety Playhouse, where we played in Atlanta. And after 3 hours of him rambling, we finally just tapped out and was like, we got to go. He fucking yammered for 3 hours. Spoken word. Stand up without the expectations of humor and laughter and punchlines. Like, he's basically doing stand up, but with no punchlines.
Was it like poetry and writing, or was it just stories from his travels?
No, just stories. But he was trying to make them funny, and I like Rollins. I'm not shitting on him, but like, you could tell he thinks he's funny. Like, oh, you're gonna like this one.
You are shitting on him.
Yeah. But like,
it's exactly what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I guess so. I think I'm jealous of like, oh, you just call it spoken word, and that way if you're not funny, no harm, no foul. But it's like, dude, just go fucking do stand-up. Just be a stand-up. You're trying to do stand-up. It's long-winded without punchlines. But, oh, it's spoken word. And I mean,
well, maybe he was on Those Who Can't. I wasn't on set that day. But they got him to do a role on Those Who Can't and said he was just absolutely a sweetheart of a man.
Yeah, I've heard he's a nice guy.
Really wanted to do a good job. Was like, okay, how should I read this? Like, wanted to be funny. Wanted to give him exactly what they wanted as far as acting. So only heard good things about the fellow.
Yeah. No, I don't mean to. I do like him, but it's just, I'm jealous of anybody's spoken word.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interesting. Are you?
Uh-huh. And he is. I mean,
just because you did interesting things doesn't mean you automatically know how to convey it in an interesting way.
Exactly. That's my point that I couldn't find. But yes.
Now, yeah, crazy from the heat, David Lee Roth's autobiography. That guy knows how to tell you. He did some goofy shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind listening to him ramble on with some stories. But yeah, saw Rollins. What else did I do in Chicago? Went and saw our buddy Tom Segura perform in front of literally 10,000 people at a basketball arena. And not going to shit on Tom, but I will shit on the concept of doing stand-up comedy in a basketball arena. Kind of, you lose some of the nuance when it's of that magnitude. Literally sat 100 yards away.
Tom Segura, very nuanced comedian.
Yeah. And enjoyed the show, but yeah, just not the environment for stand up at a college basketball arena. Literally, well, it probably more than 10,000, because I think the listed capacity for like a game is 10,000, but then at a basketball game, obviously you don't have a couple of thousand people sitting on the floor, so they had a few thousand more seats sitting where the basketball court would be. But good Lord, and he did two nights in a row at a 10,000 seater. And it was quite a spectacle. I mean, it was just.
Now, as a comic, you're like, yeah, this is too big for stand. Were the people around you engaged in laughing at it? Or was it.
Could
you see them being like, oh, I'm not going to go see a comedy show in a place this big again?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. It's hard to tell. Like, some folks were definitely engaged, but you could definitely tell a lot of people it's just. It was just falling on deaf ears because it just was such the wrong environment. It was just, and I'd never seen a comedy show that, I can't imagine, I'm trying to think the biggest comedy show prior to that I'd ever seen. I've been to some theater shows. I performed some theater shows, I've never seen anything in a basketball arena. I mean, there's only a handful of comics that's ever done basketball arenas, you know? I mean, it was impressive, you know, like good for him for being able to sell that many tickets, but. And, you know, I was thinking, like, why would anybody want to do that? And it's like, oh, shit, well, duh. Like,
he probably made $2,000 or $3,000 from that show.
Yeah, he probably made almost $1,000. No, Jesus. $77 ticket times 10,000. Do that math. Good Lord. But, I mean, it was a spectacle. Like, it was interesting from the point of view of, like, holy shit, as a comedian, it's nice to see this many people come out to a comedy show. I mean, it was chaotic. Like I went to the concession stand, like stood in line for like 30 minutes just to get a pretzel and a Diet Pepsi. Like, I mean, and just the sheer volume of people. It was insane. Because like I said, there were more people there than even a sold out basketball game. Because
was it a sold out show?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the seating on the floor. And I was doing some rough math. I think they sat probably 2,000 or 3,000 people on the actual floor that, you know, weren't even traditional seats, like if you were seeing a game.
Who played there?
It's the University of Illinois at Chicago.
Okay. UIC. So I was looking at what you told me, like where the place was. I'm like, I think that's UIC.
Yeah, UIC. The Credit Union One Arena. And I mean, but like, even getting in there, it was like, it felt like fucking Coachella. Like, it felt like a huge festival. Like, just literally penguin walking, just shoulder to shoulder all through, you know, the lobby and the concession stands and everything. And it was just absolutely chaotic.
Well, but, that being said, I think I got about 40 tickets sold for the Irvine Improv this Sunday night. A couple more than that in Oxnard, where you and I will be together.
Yeah,
for a 400 seat room, I got about 35-40 tickets sold last I checked. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, man. I don't know what am I not talking about that people need to hear within their stand up.
I'm gonna bite my tongue on that one, but
all right.
Yeah, man, it was quite a shout out to my buddy Jeff Tate for hooking up a free ticket. And as much as I enjoy Tom, I wouldn't have paid if I'd have paid the face value for that ticket, I would have been a little annoyed to sit 100 yards away.
I don't know what I'd pay $77 to see.
Yeah. But yeah, it was quite a spectacle. I took the train, got my first Chicago train experience. They call it the subway, the train, the L. What's the lingo there?
That's the L.
You know, An L as in not the letter L, but as in elevated. Is that right?
I think yeah.
I learned that from
an elevated train.
The Fugitive taught me that. But yeah, that was it. Took me some time to figure out, you know, which line to hop on.
It takes me time to figure out of like which way. Mm-hmm. Wait, which side do I have to?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I never know which side.
What color line do I need to be on?
But yeah, it was quite an impressive spectacle seeing that many folks at a comedy show. But you know, folks seem to enjoy it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, if I was in Tom's shoes, like I get it. Like if you can sell that many tickets, you know. But I don't know. I think if I ever did, you know, in some alternate universe where I was able to sell that many tickets, I think just a good 2,000 or 3,000 seat theater, I think, is about as high as I would want to go. Even that, you lose a lot of nuance in a theater, as opposed to a nice club. But geez.
Yeah, I have been having fun going to see headliners at Helium. Mm-hmm. Of being able to just be an audience member at a comedy club and watch people put an hour together.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, hearing like, oh, here's everybody's 10 minutes that they got.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah,
well, I'm glad it's going well so far.
Yeah.
Sorry you're not enjoying the beauty, the springtime beauty the Ohio Valley could provide. Mm. Instead.
But yeah, I wanted to relay this story to you. Worked with a good dude, funny guy, John Torres, Chicago comic. He came up and opened for me in the Milwaukee show. And I love the Milwaukee Chicago proximity. I love that there's two major cities like less than 90 minutes apart. That's got to be cool for comics in both those cities to be able to kind of go back
a little
and
more
forth.
Than 90, I'll say, but
yeah, maybe two. It was less than 2 hours though.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So anyway, John's Chicago based, but he came up and did the show in Milwaukee, and we were just talking. He was like, you know, I'm a big fan of the Boogie Monster. And we were just talking about boogie type stuff, and he related a ghost story that he experienced. I don't know how old he was. I didn't catch if this was like something he experienced when he was a child or teenager or whatever, but he lived in this building in Chicago, him and his mom, and all kind of weird stuff would happen. He basically described shadow people. He didn't refer to them as shadow people, but his description of some of the stuff he experienced was, you know, just like these dark figures standing in the doorway at night while he's sleeping. And then he actually felt multiple times he could feel like a human presence sitting on the bed, like the weight of a human being, like sitting down. He'd turn the light on.
He's got that sleepy pee, dog.
Freak out, and there's no one there. Then one time he said him and his mom were kind of in the back parking lot, and just out of nowhere they just saw a guy in old, like, 60s clothing, like a black fedora, black suit, briefcase, just kind of walk out of nowhere, walked right by them, and disappeared into nowhere right there in the parking lot. And he said just a bunch of weird little things like that. And then he did some research, come to find out that the exact location of his apartment was the site of the TWA Flight 529 crash in 1961. TWA Flight 529 was going from Boston to San Francisco, crashed right there at that site. All 73 passengers and 5 crew members died. Everybody
Where
on the plane
was this?
Died.
Where was this again?
This was in Chicago, and it was the TWA Flight 529. I forgot what neighborhood he said it was in. Was Willowbrook? Is that a neighborhood? Willow something.
Willowbrook, yeah.
But he said after he experienced all these weird things, he did some research, found out that where that building sat, there was no building in 1961 when the plane crashed, but they later built his apartment building right there where 78 people perished in a plane crash.
Because the shadow figures, things sitting on your chest, that sounds really close to just sleep paralysis.
Yeah, yeah, it does. But then he said the story about just seeing a guy in like a 60 suit. And he said him and his mom, just clear as day, he said like 20 feet away or whatever, just right there in the parking lot. And he said like where the guy came from and where the guy went to, there was no like logical, you know, in and out there in that little back parking. He just kind of out of thin air, walked a few feet, and then just disappeared into thin air. And he said he's dressed like 1960s. And this plane crash happened in September of 1961. 78 people died.
Commuting between portals.
That's fucking nuts. And I got another thing I want to share to you real quick. Speaking of commuting between portals and whatnot, Katie had an experience recently. This was a planned experience. I don't know how she learned of this or who told her, but somehow Katie had called a psychic medium. She called, and it wasn't just some 1-800 number. It was like somebody that a friend of her, like it was like a personal connection, like a friend of a friend
told
her.
You said it like, you're like somehow she called a psychic medium.
I mean, I don't know where I haven't talked to her a ton this week, just little bits here and there. I don't know where she got the idea to call this lady. But like I said, it wasn't just something she found in the back of a magazine. And I've talked about this. She's still in mourning from her dad, you know, good days and bad days. You know, some days she's handling great, and then other days it's just real rough on her. And I feel helpless. You know, I'm always trying to be there for her, but it's like there's only so much I can say to comfort her, you know, when someone's grieving. You know, I don't want to just be trite and just rehash the same old stuff, but it's like, you know, I'm here for you if you want to talk about it, whatever. But anyway, she got the idea. Her friend said, hey, call this medium. I've called her before. And the friend even prefaced, like, I don't know if you're into this stuff. And I know a lot of people roll their eyes at the concept of this, but she really helped her, this other friend. So, like, Katie, why don't you give it a shot? So she calls this lady. The lady's named Rebecca. And I think she calls herself a clairvoyant medium. But Katie gave her almost no information leading up to this. The lady did request a few pictures. She wanted to see pictures of Katie's family. And just for those who may not remember, Katie's father passed on Christmas morning. Her mother passed 3 years ago, right around Mother's Day. And about 20 years ago, her older sister died on Easter. Mm-hmm. What is it with all these holiday deaths? I don't know. But so her sister died back in 97 when the sister, Susie, was 23 and Katie was 13. She was 10 years older. So Katie just got a lot of loss in her family, both going back 20 years and then as recent as this Christmas. So a lot to deal with there in terms of grieving family members. So this Rebecca lady, this medium, she asked very few questions, you know, leading up to this, you know, in terms of. And they do that on purpose just to kind of prove that, you know, I guess if you're a medium, you don't want to find out too much because then you want to seem legit when you drop some of these nuggets on them. So sure. Katie told her almost nothing. She did send her some pictures, but she told her almost nothing and got some really interesting nuggets from this lady. One in particular that stuck out. I'm looking at Katie's notes here. She spent about a half hour with this lady on the phone. And she says she has a technique that she uses to communicate to the other side, basically tells you what they want you to know, meaning this lady will tell you things that your deceased, I don't know if it's just family, friends, whomever, but I don't know what you would call it. Just I'll call them the deceased. But she just acts as like a go-between. She relays messages between your dead friends and family and you. Yeah. And one thing that she said, I hear three people. The lady was like, this was like in the moment. And this Rebecca was like, I'm hearing three people right now. And Susie and mom and dad. She said, one of them's very loud. That's her dad. Her dad was very loud and kind of playfully obnoxious, very boisterous guy. Yeah. But this nugget stood out. She said, your dad wants me to tell your husband to go to the store. He says, why isn't Dave at the store? You got to go to the store. And Katie didn't tell her any leading up, any info about our personal situation. One of the reasons we moved to West Hollywood is for me to start going to the comedy store and to get into the comedy store. And I have yet to do that just because I'm still getting settled in and I've been doing other shows and stuff. But I thought that was pretty interesting. She's like, your dad keeps telling your husband, why isn't he at the store? He needs to go to the store. So, I mean, yeah, that could mean an actual store, but it's pretty odd that we moved to that specific neighborhood so I could be closer to the comedy store.
That's, all right, that's a pretty wild one.
That's a pretty good one there. Also, let's see here. What's this other one? I'm sorry, my notes are all jumbled here. They both loved, she said they both loved where we moved. Both parents were complimenting the new apartment. And mom said she kept saying that mom kept saying, be careful when you park on the street because cars go too fast there. And we live, I don't want to give away my exact location, but we live on a street where we live right at an intersection where there's a three-way stop. And we're on the second floor, so we've got this nice window that just overlooks that intersection. No shit, 90% of the cars that come through there never stop at that intersection. Just because the way it's laid out, you can really, you know how some stop signs you can see in all directions. You're like, there's no threat, no one's coming. But people just blow through that stop sign 90% of the time. She kept saying that the mom kept saying, be careful when you park on that street because people go too fast there and don't stop. And that's a thing that's legit happens. And then also, Susie, the sister who passed, who I keep talking about, said that something that she said that Susie keeps mentioning about the time that she taught you how to swim. Did Susie teach you how to swim? And absolutely, Susie spent an entire summer before she passed teaching Katie how to swim. Susie's the one that taught Katie how to swim. So this lady brought up Susie and swimming. She brought up a dangerous intersection where people go too fast. And she brought up the fact that your husband needs to go to the store and your dad's annoyed that your husband's not going to the store. So I understand a lot of this psych-medium
stuff.
That's
a wild one.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that a lot of what they do is purposely vague, that where you could interpret it, you know, but like those are fairly detailed things, especially the store and the swimming. And Katie swears, I was like, you didn't tell her any of that info. She's like, no, she didn't give her any info about me or comedy or the comedy store, didn't give her any info about swimming. But that's fucking fascinating. And she said that the lady kept reassuring her, it's like, oh, yeah, like, when she's just talking about the concept, like, no, when people die, like, they're not gone. Like, she's like, their spirits are around you, and death is not the end of this thing. And
what if it's the case of, like, if you're willing, like, on this side, you have to be willing to talk to one of these people to communicate. But also, on the other side, you have to be willing to talk to somebody. Like, on the other side of something, like, you know, I could still talk to the living. I'm like, fool, you're full of shit. And then they have to, like, convince you that they're real. So there has to be, like, a broker.
Well, say that again. So, like, the dead, like, the deceased, like, okay, have to be willing to talk to this medium?
Yeah, excuse me. Well, I got to clear my throat. Sorry. So, like, say we got to believe a psychic here. We got to be like, all right, I'll go talk to this psychic. In order, like the dead can't just talk to you. They got to go through this broker.
Yeah,
like an agent. You know, you need the agent to make the deal. Mm-hmm. But then if you're dead, you're just around all the other dead people, and there's somebody else is dead. Like, you know, I could talk to the living. Like, you're full of shit. And so there has to be, like, both sides have to agree to talk to whoever can facilitate.
Yeah,
this information. That's why.
Uh huh.
I don't know. I'm throwing out ideas.
No, that makes sense. But yeah.
Like, there's psychics, but it's dead psychics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that's what you do. You're psychic. When a psychic dies, they're like, all right, I just do the same thing, but the other way.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, maybe so. And Katie, she tolerates all my boogie-related interest and beliefs, but she's definitely much more of a skeptic on a lot of this stuff than I am. And like, this had an impact on her. Like, she's like, holy shit, how?
Those are three pretty wild facts to get right.
Yeah. She's like, how would this lady know this stuff? And the store thing really got me. Because, like, that was our whole... Well, Katie wanted to live in West Hollywood anyway. And then I've always, like, kind of avoided it. It's like, hey, it's too bougie for me. I don't want to. And then it just hit me, you know, months ago when we were thinking about moving. I was like, well, a good compromise would be that. And, like, it wouldn't be so bad because I'd be close to all the clubs. And, you know, I could just walk to the store, walk to the Laugh Factory, whatever, and get in over there. And we've been up there almost 2 months, and I've been just a couple of times. You know, I haven't really committed to just making it a routine yet. Eventually, hopefully I will just make it a routine. Long story short, I have a problem with just going to shows and going to clubs that I'm not doing spots on. I just hate just standing around. But I know that, you know, you got to put in some. You got to put
networking,
in
baby.
Yeah, that's the part I just fucking hate. And But yeah, she's like, yeah, the loud male figure, she kept calling him the loud male figure, is annoyed and complaining that your husband needs to go to the store. What does that mean?
And Kay's, I mean, like, I could even say, like, how long between getting recommended to talk to this psychic and then actually calling was there?
I think just like a day or two.
Because now, yeah, like, just for the sake of, like, picking it apart, I'm trying to think of how. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, I can, you know, oh, I'll listen to the podcast and, you know, giving up that, you know, oh, yeah, I live by the Comedy Store now. I need to start going there.
Yeah. No, but Katie said,
but
she didn't.
That's one thing.
Yes, but Katie didn't mention anything about her podcast, our podcast, comedy, nothing. She didn't tell her anything about comedy, podcast, nothing. So I don't know how the hell this lady would.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of ways that it could be. You got me, man.
Yeah. And I, and again, like I said,
wild one.
I get that some stuff is so vague that you could interpret it in different ways. But this, like the store, like in the original context of he needs to go to the store, that wouldn't even be worth mentioning. If, like, you know, hey, he needs to go to Ralph's, you're out of the soda. Like, why would that be a talking point? So, like.
That's like the, oh, that's like, oh, the convoluted message that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about life insurance. I know it's not an exciting topic, but it's one that you need to look into. If you have anyone depending on you financially, whether it's a child, an aging parent, even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you or your loved ones, you have some financial cushion for rent, mortgage payments, loans, education costs, everyday expenses. That's where Policy Genius comes into play. Policy Genius, one word, Policy Genius is your one-stop shop to find the insurance you need at the right place. They are not an insurance company. They help you find the right insurance policy for yourself. Head over to policygenius.com, answer a few questions. In minutes, you can compare personalized quotes from top companies to find you the lowest price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Their team of licensed experts are on hand through the entire process to help you understand your options and make decisions with confidence. The Policy Genius team works for you, not the insurance companies. Whether you're just starting to shop or you have questions about your active policy, they're your independent advocates offering unbiased advice. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Policy Genius doesn't sell your info to third parties. They have thousands of five-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot. Policy Genius has options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Since 2014, Policy Genius has helped over 30 million people shop for insurance and placed over $120 billion in coverage. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. Policygenius.com. So yeah,
would you contact this psychic?
I want to. I actually want to now because I would love to. You know, I'd like for her to talk to my dad. You know, I'd like to.
Yeah.
And Katie said that like it was so. She felt so calm and relaxed, and as far as like it wasn't like a big nervous thing. Mm-hmm. She said it felt like she just felt so at ease. And the lady even said, like, yeah, it's not some scary thing. And Katie described it as if, like, this lady was literally hanging out with Susie and Mom and Dad. And just, you know, like if we're on the phone and you're hanging out with Shane and I'm like, hey, tell Shane I said what's up, whatever. She said it was like that. Like, oh, just.
She was on the phone. She didn't meet him in person.
No, it was on the phone. And she just felt like. This lady was just relaying messages, just, oh, yeah, your mom says this and your dad said. And there were other things. Those were just the things that stuck out. But, yeah. Oh, and here's another thing that she said. Your dad's saying something about taxes. Make sure to do the taxes. Now, granted, I know it's tax season right now, but Katie didn't say anything about this. But Katie's been doing a ton of stuff.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but and I'll talk about it. But Katie inherited her dad's business, so he owns some rental properties, and she inherited that. And she's having to do a ton of just admin work,
yeah,
paying taxes and all this stuff. And there was an audit like years ago. He sold some property and forgot to pay taxes on it. Now he's getting audited posthumously, and Katie's having to deal with all that. But the lady brought up, it's like, your dad's real concerned with the taxes. Make sure you get all the taxes squared away, whatever that means. And Katie's like, I know exactly what that means. I'm dealing with that shit right now.
Yeah. So,
granted, it is tax season. You could bullshit your way around that one, but that was still fairly interesting.
This one's got me a little bit, man. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
This got me a little bit.
Really fascinating. But yeah, I kind of want to call her and see if she can relay some messages to my dad. I just, I think that's fascinating, man. I've never thought too much about that kind of stuff. But now that, you know, Katie and I both have combined, we have four close family members that have passed on, that, you know, now it's pretty intriguing.
The thing that discredits it is that if you truly could speak to the dead, it would be like, there's that Matt Damon movie where it's just an incredible burden.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a gift. It's not something like, oh, here's my phone number, call me for a rate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be, you would be kidnapped by the government and used to communicate with past world leaders and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, there's stories of like police detectives and stuff trying to, who just can't solve certain cases, and they bring in psychics and mediums and stuff. And but yeah, yeah,
like, why would, if you could really speak with the dead, why is any murder case not solved?
Yeah.
Unless it's that you have to be willing to discuss it after you're dead. I don't know, but that's why I always go back, like, why is there any murder case unsolved? Mm-hmm. if someone can be like, oh yeah, they said this guy did it.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it's, yeah, like you said, maybe you got to be in the right frame of mind. Maybe, I'm sure a lot of detectives and whomever don't even try that route. Just like, oh, that's nonsense. I'm not gonna talk to some stupid.
It discredits you as a police officer. Mm-hmm. I know, it's always like last. You listen to this true crime, like, it's always last resort. We brought psychics in to see if they could even help.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, who knows? One last thing I wanted to share with you before we get off. I know we're running late here, but saw a fantastic movie yesterday. Had the day off here in Cuyahoga Falls, and just bored out of my mind, just nothing to do. Went and saw, and I've had several people recommend this movie, and I'd never even seen a trailer or anything for it, but just word of mouth. Had a couple of buddies recommend it. Then I had a few listeners recommend it. I went and saw Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Have you heard about this movie?
I have. I've heard nothing but great things.
Dude.
Really don't know a lot about it. Just heard, like, wow, people, same thing. What a movie.
I don't know
anything about it, but it's
no spoilers. It's kind of about the multiverse theory, and we've talked a little bit about that in the past. Kind of self-explanatory, just the concept that maybe there's infinite different universes out there, and then the possibility in this movie, it was the possibility of hopping between different universes and different. And it kind of had a little bit of like a butterfly effect vibe, where like the smallest little decisions you make in your life can lead to life-changing things and stuff like that. But and again, I'm not a film buff. I don't know. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I'm not smart enough to articulate why I like and dislike certain things.
No.
This movie, in terms of sheer filmmaking, in terms of just the art of making a film, it's one of the most impressive movies I've ever seen. Like,
okay.
It seems like one of those movies, like, this had to take 10 years to make. I don't know how long it took, but just the editing alone, just overwhelming how impressive this movie was put together. The story's great, the acting's incredible, but just the actual filmmaking, like, it's just a spectacle. It was just a spectacle, like, how interesting this movie was. Now, it's bizarre as fuck. It's hard to explain. It's also a movie I need to go watch about four more times to even begin to understand. There's so much going on, and there's so many layers and angles to it.
And one of those movies, just, you know, probably just thousands of little Easter eggs and stuff that you go back and watch that you didn't catch the first time, but just incredible movie. Just one of the most fun times I've had at a movie theater in a long time.
I've heard nothing but glowing reviews without, still, same thing, didn't hear about it beforehand. Not that I'm going to movies to see the trailers otherwise.
Yeah.
But same thing, read people, like people have tweeted about it, just like people I know, like same thing. So it's playing at the Los Feliz 3 here, maybe I'll go.
Yeah, worth checking out. Data from the Goonies is one of the main characters. I always liked that kid, the little Asian kid from the Goonies.
Yeah.
He's the main character's husband. He does great. And then did you ever see, we talked a lot about I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robbins. God, I love that series. That dude just kills me. But there's a sketch where they do like a movie trailer, Detective Crashmore, like the old grizzled cop. He's like got a long beard and he's bald. He's in it. He's got a smaller role, but it was fun to see Detective Crashmore show up in that. And I don't know who the main character, these actors, the mom and the daughter, both just fantastic actresses. But yeah, just most fun I've had in a movie. And this isn't even my type of movie per se. Like I appreciate the weird multiverse stuff, but it definitely had some sci-fi elements and kind of some fantasy elements to it. That, you know, I'm not a huge sci-fi guy, but man, just a fun, incredible movie. So highly recommend Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So
I've heard so many good things about it. I forgot I like going to the movies. I go to the movies maybe once a year. Mm-hmm. Twice a year. And every time I go to the movies, I'm like, I forgot I like going to the movies. I go to the movies more. And then I never do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
That's only the second movie I've been to post-COVID. I went and saw that.
I've been to two, yeah.
I went and saw that fucking boring slop licorice pizza. I saw that twice.
Good for you for giving it a second shot. Like, all right, let me try it again just to see.
Yeah.
Good on you for that.
Yeah. Just, and, you know, I just said I don't know anything about movies, and then here I am critiquing them. I mean, you know, smarter people can probably tell
but
me.
But you
why
know
that
what you like
great.
And you didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And you gave it another shot to see, like, it, maybe I got to look at it a different way, and you still didn't like it. It's okay to not like stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely don't want to be that fucking snobby hipster teen I hate everything perspective, so I was like, let me watch this
edgelord contrarian. I've fallen into that for so many things in life, and I look back, I'm like, I really thought I was blowing people's minds. Like, no, I was just a dickhead. You like that? Well, guess what, it sucks. I was just an asshole.
Yeah,
not just in my teen years, like up until recently, and still on occasion now.
Yeah,
so
it's like your that great joke about hipsters you had on a few specials ago. Like, what do you really like? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. That was just the entrenched, like, irony is my personality kind of thing. Cool. Which I think has subsided at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people are...
Well, maybe
now there's a unabashed sincerity about liking something for the fact that you like it, regardless of whether it fits with a click or a scene. Like, there's no punk rocker anymore. Not in a bad way, but of like, no, you like that, but you also like all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is that
like, it's not why pigeonhole yourself? You know,
is that society
cool? I think that's advancement.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Is that society evolving, or is that just us getting older? Is that our peer group getting older?
Maybe it's our peer group getting older, but even like with kids, I think it's more. This is just observation,
mm-hmm.
but you know, your identity isn't based around the stuff that you like.
Yeah.
You know, there's more to identity now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, thank God.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely good that kids listen to all kinds of different music and aren't like, well, I know I have to fall into this category. Cause, I mean, then that's, you know, I was just a suburban white kid. I wanted to be something different than other suburban. Like, oh, you're a guy that's into sports and you're an athletic guy and you wear mm-hmm. sports shirts and you're fans. And I'm like, well, I'm the music guy. I'm different. Like,
mm-hmm.
no, I picked this guy to be. Mm-hmm. I genuinely like the music. and like the scene, but it was the same scene. It was still just teen boys.
Yeah.
Being shitty and obnoxious. But we thought we were different than the guys who would do it in an organized way on an athletic field.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, not That's really. True. We're all the same ones. We're all the same dickheads.
Kind of the same mentality, just different vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Before we go, I wanted to relay an update real quick. Last week, we were talking about the concept of a breakfast Juicy Lucy, like an egg sandwiched between sausage, and several people reached out, and they're like, yeah, that's called a Scotch egg. I'm like, oh, yeah.
We were basically
describing a Scotch egg, and I love Scotch eggs, but that, again, kind of like German food, that's something I rarely have because you're just... I'm rarely at an English restaurant or an English pub, but
Scotch egg. Like, because I was still thinking in patty form with a bun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, with a bun. Yeah. Ooh, Scotch egg on a bun.
Because a Scotch egg's still a soft boiled egg. Is it hard boiled in there? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good. I don't know. One or the other. But yeah, just basically encased in sausage. And then I think they put a little breading and drop it in the fryer. Boy.
Yeah, it's a deep-fried, sausage-wrapped, hard-boiled or soft-boiled egg. It's a lot.
Wonderful.
But it is what we described, so go figure.
Wonderful dish.
Well, I am a hot box in this van, dude. I forgot. I've only been out in cold weather lately. Last summer when I was in here, it was 90 degrees outside. I'm like, oh, yeah, it sucked being here. It's only 70, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I got all the windows closed for sound.
Yep.
And it is toasty in this piece. So I'm going to go back up in the apartment.
Do it, buddy. plug real quick. Where are you going to be next week or this week?
This week, well, it's coming out Wednesday. If you happen to be in Rolla, Missouri, tomorrow night, Thursday, come on down to University of... Science and Technology. I'm doing a college gig.
Hell yeah.
I got weird gigs this week. I got a college gig. I'm breaking off to just go to Missouri real quick and coming back here to then go see the Menzingers and Sincere Engineer at the Roxy Friday night.
Nice.
Saturday night, I got a private gig in L.A. I'm doing somebody's birthday party. That's a weird one. Sunday, plenty of tickets left for the Irvine Improv at the Spectrum Center. Not sure who's working with me there, but the next night, Oxnard, California, up near Ventura, Levity Live, me and you, buddy.
Hell yeah, man.
We're going to rip it up.
That'll be fun.
And then the weekend after that, Salt Lake City Wise Guys, Saturday night, taping my special there. So
awesome.
I'll be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so all the shows will be fun. It'll be me ramping up to get ready to tape the special, and then Saturday we're taping it. So
awesome, man. We'll crush it. And then week after that, May 6th and 7th, we'll be together in Eureka up in Humboldt.
We're up in old Humboldt County.
Yeah.
And with those goofballs.
Just announced doing live Boogie Monster on Saturday the 7th. So we got show the night of the 6th, show the night of the 7th, and the afternoon of the 7th, maybe 6:30, I think, more early evening, live Boogie Monster. So those tickets.
Yeah, home.
Tickets on your site, my site, Savage Henry site, so people will find them. But yeah, man, good times. Tonight, don't worry where I'm at tonight.
Cuyahoga Falls.
Yeah, this will come out after the fact. But Friday I'll be in Hilliard, which is basically Columbus, Ohio. I'll be at the station. Saturday I'll be in Cincinnati at the Comet, so that'll be fun. Come out and see me, Ohio folks, and then... as this drops on 420, a day late, 420, I'll be in Ashland, Kentucky, watching the drive-by truckers going down on an off day to see DBT.
All right.
So looking forward to that. So anybody at that show, feel free to say hello. I'll be the lone guy. I'll be the guy by himself, stoned out of his mind, sitting up at the balcony watching the truckers.
There'll be a few of them.
Yeah. So that'll be fun, man. And where can we see or hear and or see No Accounting for Taste? You and Shane?
No Torres? Accounting. It's out. It comes out Mondays now.
Right on.
It's out Mondays. We got whatever handle we got, Kyle and Shane NAFT, I think is the handle we got on social media. So, you know, you start doing something late in the game on social media, the good names are taken already.
Yeah.
So, that came out last week, started last week, comes out Mondays.
Well, hell yeah, buddy.
Head over to the studio and do some of those now.
Well, good times. And my other project, Stoneberg, still putting out episodes we missed last week because of the road, but we should be back at it this week. The Stonebergs, myself and my better half. You can catch those. We drop those on Wednesdays. So there you go.
So much right. Podcast for you people.
So much. So much. So much, man. Content, baby.
Content. Dave's on the road. Deb Kinane approved the Dave Stone Road Show. Go see it.
Oh, man, it's been fun. Good catching up, buddy, and I'll see you. Hey, next time, next episode, we might be in person. Who knows?
We might be face-to-face.
Might be face-to-face. Come over to the new pad, and I'll show you around.
Hell yeah.
All right, buddy, be good. We'll talk to you soon.
You betcha.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.